This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com, and by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Could be an interesting day on Wall Street.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Just before trading begins this morning, the government hands out February's employment report. Those job numbers tend to move the markets more than any other economic statistic. That's because it says a lot, usually, about the health of the economy. Investors in Europe are also waiting on this report. Stocks opened a little weaker over there this morning. But there were modest gains in Asia and a little rally on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow gained 68 points to 12,260. The Nasdaq put on 13 to 2387. And the S&P 500 added 9 to 1401. It's daylight saving time already. We're springing forward this weekend, 3 weeks earlier than normal. Jeff Tyler tells us what we'll be saving.
Springing ahead early is meant to save energy. The nonprofit American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy has calculated the financial savings. Bill Prindle is the acting director.
We estimated that cumulatively through 2020, we could save about $4.4 billion in electric bills.
That's roughly $1 saved for every American. But while the changing clocks have gotten all the attention, Prindle says other provisions from the same 2005 energy bill have much more financial significance.
There are energy efficiency standards that will save 15 times as much money, energy, and carbon as the daylight saving time measure itself.
Much of the savings comes from new appliance standards, and consumers can save money by taking advantage of energy-friendly tax incentives. But Prindle cautions that time is running out. The tax incentives end this year. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
This is the richest year ever in human history. So says Steve Forbes. Last night, his magazine came out with its annual list of billionaires. There are 946 people on the list this year. That's almost 20% more than last year. Bill Gates was at the top for the 13th year in a row. Some of the newcomers include Howard Schultz, the founder of Starbucks, former Disney CEO Michael Eisner, and the two guys who make the BlackBerry. Let's check in with Stephen Beard to get more on Europe's representation on the list. Stephen?
Germany remains in the number two slot for the number of billionaires. It has 55. That, of course, is still way behind the US with 415. Mm-hmm. Number three, interestingly, is Russia. Not an extremely wealthy country, but very rich in oligarchs.
What about other emerging markets in Europe?
Turkey is now number six in the billionaires list with 25 billionaires. So it's up there with Japan. Quite an interesting development. And Serbia and Romania, for the first time, now boast a billionaire apiece.
All right. How about there in Britain, besides Stephen Beard, who else is on the list?
I'm afraid I'm missing again this year. Old money has prevailed, I'm sorry to say. Top of the list is the Duke of Westminster. However, it's nice to see that talent is also rewarded. J.K. Rowling is in the list. She now has $1 billion from the Harry Potter books. She does share that position with a soft porn publisher.
Well, I'm sure she's not going to complain too much about that. Stephen, maybe we'll look for you next year.
You'll be looking in vain.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Scott.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. By Medtronic, offering information to learn about sudden cardiac arrest and available life-saving therapies at Medtronic.com. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
The company Diebold will pay its shareholders a nice quarterly dividend today. Diebold is doing well, despite problems with its electronic voting business. Diebold hasn't been able to shake controversy about its voting machines, even though it still dominates the market. Pat Loeb tells us the story.
Diebold made its name in reliable security when its bank vaults were all that survived the Great Chicago Fire. But Gil Loria, an analyst with Wedbush Morgan, says it's now better known for a small sideline.
The voting business is about 5% of Diebold's business, but it's been 100% of their bad PR over the last few years.
Loria says Diebold ended up in the voting machine business almost by accident. It purchased a Brazilian ATM company that had just gotten a contract to make the machines for Brazil's first electronic election. What timing. That was right before the Help America Vote Act required states to replace paper ballots. That made electronic voting a multi-billion dollar business. Diebold had a leg up. But it needed different machines for complicated U.S. elections with thousands of different ballots and procedures. So Diebold rushed new and largely untested machinery to market. The biggest concern was that the company forgot its stock in trade.
Diebold voting machines have a very poor track record of security.
J. Alex Halderman was on the Princeton team that did a devastating report on how easy it was to hack into Diebold machines.
It's possible for someone to create a voting machine virus that would move from machine to machine, silently switching votes. Another problem that we found is the keys that are used to lock the Diebold machine are a very common type of key that's used in hotel minibars.
Actually, they're not insecure. I think we probably get more attention because we're the largest company in the industry.
That's Mark Radke, director of marketing for Diebold. He says the researchers used an out-of-date machine and ignored new security measures. But the fatal blow to Diebold's reputation was self-inflicted. In 2003, then-CEO Walden O'Dell wrote a fundraising letter to Republicans promising to, quote, help Ohio deliver its electoral votes to the president. With that, the company became the Darth Vader of elections. Mark Radke agrees O'Dell's political activity was a mistake, but he says the company has taken steps to correct it. Most significantly, it ousted O'Dell, and the new CEO has imposed an ethics policy that forbids Diebold executives from fundraising. In Los Angeles, I'm Pat Loeb for Marketplace.
And I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.